This is Music Respawn. I'm Kate Remington with Darren Korb, and it's really fantastic to have a chance to talk with you again. Thanks so much for spending some time.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
Well, last time we talked, you had a couple of tracks ready from Pyre, and you were talking about how you were creating kind of concept music for the game, but now the game is out, and it's getting amazing reviews. And first of all, congratulations. It's a fantastic game.
Thank you very much.
It must have been just such an epic journey for all you guys, because this is the biggest game that Supergiant Games has made, right? It was like a 3-year process.
Yeah, this is certainly the both longest development and also the sort of biggest scope project that we've done. So yeah, it certainly was a relief to get it out the door, and man, I guess the last time I talked to you was a long time ago then, because I started when I had a couple of pieces done for Pyre, it was like, you know, a month into development or something. So it must have been a really long time ago.
Yeah, it was right. It was after PAX East last year. And you were showing off the game, and you had a trailer, which was fantastic.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Before we get too far into talking about the music, which is just incredible, the game itself is so interesting. There's not, I can't think of another game like it, because as a character, you've been banished to this kind of purgatory downside. Mm-hmm. And there are other criminals, people find you, and then you have to battle your way back to the top of the Commonwealth.
Yeah.
And so it must have been a really interesting process to figure out what kind of music would work with mechanics like that.
Yeah, you know, for me, I kind of lead with tone and what sort of tone we're trying to achieve. And you know, the sort of high level ideas about what the game is sort of about, what the feeling of the game is going to be, looking at sort of art concepts, you know, as that all that stuff starts to come together, it becomes more and more clear the direction that I feel like I need to go tonally. And then I just start experimenting with different instrumentation, different styles of music to try and push in that direction. I knew kind of right away that I wanted to do something with like bardic instruments for a lot of it, and to have that sort of road movie sort of bard feel, you know, not exactly the like Bravely Brave Sir Robin Monty Python thing, but but, you know, but like a more serious version of that idea, you know, because we knew we wanted to have a bard character that sort of travels with you and sings about your deeds, and that was an early concept we had, and we really wanted to lean into a lot of the more kind of traditional fantasy tropes, but with a slant, our own weird slant on it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And it's kind of amazing, really, because one of the little things that I've got on my page of questions here is that it did sound like a bunch of troubadours or like a small band of musicians improvising, so your intent like totally came across,
because that's awesome.
Absolutely what I picked up on.
Thank you.
Is that all you, playing all of those incredible instruments?
Yeah.
Wow.
Everything that is like a guitar, bass, mandolin, all that kind of stuff, I played all of that stuff. Some, you know, a lot of stuff is software instruments, MIDI, and some stuff, I'd say a smaller portion of sounds on this soundtrack than the other two is like samples and loops. And some of the drums I performed, like with an electronic drum set, most of them were just sort of programmed or based on some like presets that I modified. And I'm trying to think if there's any other fanciness. Auto harp. I played the auto harp.
Yeah, I know that. And what that does is there's a bunch of tracks in particular with the auto harp. They they sound like really authentic folk songs, which is really cool.
Awesome.
No, it was neat. And you've got those really complicated kind of drum pattern loop things like you used in Bastion, too, kind of going on in there. So it just the whole thing, just start to finish, is really amazing. And there's so much variety, too, which is really cool.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you. That's something that I'm really happy about with this soundtrack in particular, is that it's just a really big range of styles and really kind of a broad spectrum of stuff on it, just because the variety of stuff you do in the game and the variety of characters you meet in this game is just much, much bigger than the other two games. And so it just seemed appropriate to allow myself kind of a wider array of stuff that I could choose from stylistically on the soundtrack. And I'm glad it turned out that way. you know, the funny thing is, so all of the tracks in the game, for the most part, are implemented in a way that is, they're multi-channel stems. So what that means is they're not stereo tracks in the game that you hear that just play all the way through and don't change. They all change dynamically based on what's going on, like the guitar, bass, drums, all that stuff are all on separate tracks that are turning on and off based on what you're doing.
Wow.
So the moral of the point of this is that, you know, for the other projects, I had like my stereo files that I would keep in a playlist and kind of keep track of as the project went on. Mm-hmm. And so I would have an idea of how much music I had made and all that. In this one, I just like didn't, for whatever reason, it just was harder for me to keep track of how much music I'd made, because it was all living in my middleware project and not in some audio software, iTunes or whatever.
Right.
Or a folder, you know? And because of that, I was shocked when I went to go make the soundtrack, and I was like, oh, there's 39 songs. That's so much more than I thought. How did this happen?
I was amazed when I got it from Bandcamp, and I was like, it just goes on and on and on and on.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
But like I said, there's so much variety. I mean, there's that the folk quality with the mandolin and the auto harp and stuff, and then you've got this thrash pack cue with these just amazing badass guitars. That one must have been a lot of fun.
That was a blast. Yeah, that was so much fun to do. It's out of my sort of stuff, the purview of stuff that I've done for games, and it was really fun to just inject a little bit of rock into there, and that was fun. I got to play some about half the drums on there I got to perform with my electronic kit that I got like a year or two ago, so that was fun.
Oh yeah, I bet.
To be able to rock out for once.
And then with some of the pieces too, because you know, when you get dumped in the game, there's a lot going on already in the game world, and there's this long history of why people end up at the downside and the Commonwealth and what they stand for. And some of the pieces that you've written kind of reflect the age of the world. You've got some really amazing tracks with a harpsichord, which is very cool.
Yep. Yeah, I have a few different modes. The themes that are more representative of the Commonwealth, like the stodgy sort of aristocracy, bureaucracy of that world, I try to have, like, you know, harpsichord and pipe organ and things like that that are more kind of uptight seeming.
Yeah.
And more traditional. So yeah, that's sort of where the harpsichord comes in. You know, in the sort of main menu theme that you hear, I guess it's Life Sentences. Is that the one?
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of.
Yeah, that one has, that has harpsichord, and then Grand Ceremony, I believe. Grand Ceremony? Mm-hmm. Or? Yes. Okay, I guess it's hard to keep them straight. Grand Ceremony is the other one, and that's the theme of the chastity, who are the sort of sycophantic, you know, people who want to be bureaucrats back in the Commonwealth. So yeah, those are the two major harpsichord instances, I think.
Yeah. Well, there's, I can't think of another instrument that sounds more uptight than a harpsichord. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That was a really good choice. And then, of course, you brought back Ashley Barrett, and the way your voice and hers blend is just magical. It's just really
awesome.
Cool. Yeah.
Thank you.
I think it's just neat that you have songs at all, because, you know, a lot of games, if they have a song, it's like the end titles or the end credits. But yours are really part of the story. And the one that really struck me was Never to Return, because it's almost like the game in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Was that like a concept piece at first, or did you add it later when the game was like more developed?
Well, it's interesting. I did an early, like a really, really early version of that song that was totally different lyrically, but had kind of the same musical form and everything, and basically was, you know, pretty similar musically. And then much, much later in the process, I knew we wanted to have, as the game was more fleshed out, I knew we wanted that song to reflect all of the different triumvirates that you face in that final match there. So it actually has 9 different lyrical versions depending on which team you're facing, and also the music is different for all of them as well.
Wow.
It's the same chord changes, the same format, same melody, but the lyrics and you know, instruments that are in it are different depending on which triumvirate you're facing.
Oh my gosh.
So, which is a thing some people pick up on after a playthrough, some people don't, but which is was fun to do, and I'm glad I was able to put it in. But yeah, the lyrics are kind of specific to each triumvirate, and the music kind of reflects that triumvirate's musical themes that you hear out, you know, when you just face them in a different context.
That's the thing that always amazes me about game music, is how granular you have to get to think it out to make it work in a game. And
yeah.
So that's just amazing. It's such an interesting game because it's not a game you can lose. I mean, things happen. You might lose a match in the rights, but the story will progress no matter what. And so how did you kind of incorporate that into the music?
Yeah, well, we have some variants to the themes that play sort of post-match. There's a subtle difference in the sort of post-match screen theme that we have, which, you know, when you win, there's some sort of bells and glockenspiel and stuff like that that play sort of it's like a happy thing. And then when you lose, I think there's a, what do I have? Some sort of tubas or something to like give it more of like a, you know, a little bit more of an oppressive feel. So, yeah, I mean, I think we don't have a lot of other... Well, actually, technically, we have in the end credits section, the song that plays Bound Together has different lyrics that play per what happened to each character.
Oh,
so
wow.
Whether or not you ascended each character, different lyrics will play based on the result. So there's like tons of different permutations of what you can hear lyrically in that end song. And actually, some verses Ashley sings lead on, and on the, you know, the A verses Ashley sings lead on, and the B verses I sing lead on. And so you'll actually get a different duet, basically, depending on the results of your playthrough.
Wow. That is really remarkable. And so obviously what I should do is play the game over and over to get all the different versions. You know, I'm just astonished that this is just your third soundtrack. I mean, it's so polished, and I've got a couple of questions that kind of go down that path. First of all, I'm just wondering if, since you came to writing soundtracks from not sort of the standard or way that a lot of composers do, but I mean, you were in a band, you were a freelancer. Mm-hmm. Has that kind of freed you up from thinking about implementing music in a kind of a typical way?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I just don't know what the typical ways are. Like I don't, you know, I just came to this from my own perspective and I don't think I have a vast knowledge of how other people do what I do, really, in specific terms. I mean, you know, so I honestly don't really know how different it is from other people, the way that I implement stuff. I mean, I know that it is not typical for a composer to be in-house with a team, a production team, so I think that there is going to be some difference there, probably, in the way that the music gets implemented. In that, you know, I'm the audio director as well, so I'm the guy commissioning myself for what I'm gonna need, you know.
Right.
So I'm able to sort of see something. If it doesn't work, I can iterate on it very quickly and try something else. And it allows us to be pretty experimental with how we do things, because we can react to failure pretty quickly.
You don't have to like send it upstairs and wait for an answer.
Yeah, you don't have to send it, you know, kick it back and back and forth and back and forth. You know, if you work with a contractor, you can have sort of lots of iterations, and those take a lot of time because there's a lot of back and forth and communicating what the thing is supposed to be. And so, so anyway, yeah, I mean, I think that's probably a difference.
Yeah.
But I'm not positive because I don't know how other people do it.
Well, then my other question is, in the years that you've been writing the three soundtracks now for Supergiant, have you picked up any techniques, or have you found ways of using, you know, middleware like Wise or FMod that have made things a little easier for you?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, FMod Studio is what we use, and the music in this game is implemented in a really complicated way, and it's because of the capabilities of the middleware that we were able to do it. I mean, the way we have our cues set up is we have like 8 stereo stems playing at the same time, and based on what state the game is in, certain tracks are either muted or turned on, you know, or audibly turned on so you can hear them at least based on what's happening. So that's extremely crazy. and you know, on Bastion we used this free middleware called Exact, which I don't think they even make anymore. It was a Microsoft thing for the XNA framework. And it was just super basic and did not have a lot of capabilities, including this. It could not have done this at all. So in Transistor, we started doing a little bit of multi-channel music stuff, And then we were continuing, you know, we sort of pushed even further on Pyre. And yeah, it's been really cool to do all that stuff. And I've become a lot more comfortable using it from Transistor, you know, till now. So I was able to do more sort of dynamic mix stuff and stuff with compressors on different channels and, you know, sidechains and all that stuff.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, because I'm sure, you know, if you have the tools to do it, you kind of it sort of encourages you to kind of up your game and see, well, what else can I do with all of this great stuff? So
absolutely.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, well, not a kind of a race to the top, I guess, because you've got the things that can let you do what you've always wanted to do with music, which is really cool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's funny. I mean, you know, there can be some pressure to sort of utilize all the tools you have. But yeah, I mean, it's still, you got to find the most appropriate thing for the project. And it can be tempting to try and use all the bells and whistles, but maybe sometimes it's not quite the right thing.
Yeah. You know, I'm curious about what keeps you going in a long-term project like this, because 3 years is really a long time to work on something. And I'm just coming to it, you know, thinking about it from my background, which is I do my radio show every day and then bang, it's done.
Yep.
And to have to sustain excitement for 3 years, is that a challenge? Or do you think, oh my God, we only did this in 3 years?
It's interesting because on Transistor and Bastion, those felt like we were working on them for a while too, even though they were shorter than this. it started to feel long in the time after we had finished working on Transistor, like in the last half a year, like, oh, we've been working on this a while. So yeah, I mean, I think it may be like slightly longer than we want to do in the future for production cycle. We'll see. But it was we were excited about the weird big game we were making. So in a sense, it was easy not to have that sort of go away for me, I think, because we were just doing some crazy stuff and trying to build this really interesting, big, kind of strange world for people to inhabit for a while. So it was pretty exciting just content-wise, the stuff we were making, the type of music I was making, all that stuff made it easier to be excited the whole time because there was just a lot of cool stuff going into the thing.
Yeah, it's not any like any other game I know of, because you've got the rights that are almost kind of like a little bit like a basketball game. I've heard it described that way, because you've got the ball that you've got to get into the fire, and just I guess having the luxury of the time to get all of that right would be a plus too. So
absolutely, and part of the way we like to work is with kind of heavy iteration. You know, we'll just try things and just kind of keep tuning and tuning and tuning until we feel that they're right. And so yeah, it's certainly nice to have, especially given the scope of this project, we definitely needed the extra time to iterate as much as we wanted to.
Yeah, well, and you touched on your role as the audio director too, which is really cool. And you brought back Logan Cunningham, who's sort of the play-by-play commentator for the rights. I love his character. It's so interesting, and it's just not like anything else he's done for Supergiant. So that was that was really cool too.
Yeah,
so.
That was a lot of fun on this project. It felt like the recording the Arch Justice voiceover specifically felt like less of a chore than sometimes it can be to record thousands of lines. Yeah, that was really fun, and we had a good time recording that, because the character is more over the top in a really fun way, and we just sort of started, you know, it's interesting because we found for Transistor it took us forever to figure out what Logan's character would sound like, and we basically just settled on his regular voice, you know. For Transistor, because we thought that sounded the best. It took us forever, but for this one, almost right away we're like, let's just do this, and it was the first thing we tried, and like that was it. I mean, this seems right. Logan does this awesome kind of Gandalf-y, over-the-top, you know, type of voice, and that seems like perfect. The only thing that we changed really about that character over time is he used to be more ridiculous, like a little bit more Monty Python, like a little more over-the-top and like pitch, you know, range and pill, you know, like go up high. There's like some tiny little, some of that comes in the all the like variants of lines that we have in the game. So if you do something a bunch of times, maybe he'll throw in one that's a little more eccentric. But over time, he became a little bit less eccentric. Because we started real big with this guy. And that it was fun, but we ended up kind of like re-recording some of the stuff that was just like too silly.
Yeah. He sounded like, you know, when I've gotten together with friends to play Dungeons and Dragons, and someone always is like really showboating with their character.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's what it reminded me of.
That's wonderful. Yeah. It's like big D&D voice. It's it's good.
Now, Supergiant, you guys are going to be at PAX West, right, with Pyre?
Coming up.
That is awesome. So if you don't have a ticket, I guess you're kind of out of luck. But if you do, then you have a chance to go. And what's always struck me, seeing your booths at PAX, is the love from fans. So, I mean, clearly you guys are doing something right that really touches people in a way that a lot of other games don't. So do you have any idea why that might be?
I mean, that's certainly, you know, we certainly are always amazed by the way people connect to the games and the level of intensity of people who like the games. I mean, it's been really cool to see it connect with so many people, the games, and you know, I think part of it might just be that we really put a lot of ourselves into these projects and our fingerprints are sort of all over them, and you can tell that humans made these games,
yeah.
You know, and I think that's part of it, honestly. I mean, I think we're also trying to tell stories that stick with people, and maybe that's part of it, create memorable characters and things like that. You know, it could be a number of things. I'm not sure, but whatever it is, I feel very grateful for the response for sure.
Yeah, and maybe it's because it is a very, very small studio still, so it does have a kind of a handcrafted quality in a good way, you know, really authentic quality. It wasn't made by a team of, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can definitely tell what each person did, and you know, everybody.
I wish I could go. I hadn't bought my ticket. Maybe it's not too late. I don't know.
Yeah.
And if someone wants to grab your soundtrack, I know it's on Bandcamp. Any place else they could get it?
Just about everywhere. It's on all the digital platforms, and it's also on our website, our store, store.supergiantgames.com, if you want to pick it up there.
But Darren, wow, it's been so much fun to talk with you. I really appreciate you know, just kind of digging into the music, because there's a lot here, and it's really been fun to talk about it with you.
Yeah, no problem.
Their journey began on a barren waste where the reader arrived. Afraid and alone. When they arrived, the Book of Rights awakened the night wings and ignited the flame. They follow the stars, bound to. He stayed true till the end.
Captain Joe Dariel, keeping watch over all of the night wings. She stayed true to the end.
Rookie Greentail, small in size but vast in commitment, he stayed true to the end. He followed the stars, bound together,
hears the scribes in the world all around her. She stayed true till the end.
Stars, we shall